Well, here we are in Vatican Radio Studios. I'm Tracy McClure, and joining us today is Monsignor John Kennedy from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. Today we're going to be talking about the Pope's first encyclical, Lumen Fidei. First of all, can you help us, our listeners, understand what an encyclical is?
Great to see you, Tracy. Like a lot of people, we've been listening for the last few weeks and months to Pope Francis, both at his weekly audiences and at the famous Angelus prayer from that renowned window there at the top of St. Peter's Square. I know, too, that the younger generations have been following the Pope on Facebook and also on Twitter. And in a broader way, the media in general, including especially our own Vatican Radio website, have been covering his various visits and comments on world events. We're here today because, as you rightly said, his first encyclical has been published recently. I don't know whether a lot of people might know this, but the word encyclical is a fairly unfamiliar word to most people. In fact, I only heard it for the first time when I began my training for the priesthood. Before that, it was just a completely new word to me. So let's explain what an encyclical is. According to its etymology, the word encyclical comes from Greek, and it means, very simply, a circle. And so, if you want to describe it, this is a circular letter. In the past, it was rather difficult for most people to know that the Pope had even written an encyclical because they didn't really appear so easily in the public forum. It wasn't for sale, for instance, in most bookshops, perhaps only in a major religious bookstore, and there was certainly no online version. But now, with the modern means of communication, it's extremely easy to know all about what the Pope says and does, and even what he writes, because everything that he produces, if you want to say it in this way, is available instantaneously and online in a multitude of different languages. So if you want to know more about the Pope's encyclical, all you have to do is go to the Vatican website, which of course is www.vatican.va, and you'll see a link on the opening page, once you choose your language, to the new encyclical. And you can either do that by clicking on the image of Pope Francis, or there's a search engine at the top right-hand corner of the opening page. And if you put in the word encyclical or light of faith, you'll see the text very quickly.
Now, who has the Pope generally got in mind when he writes an encyclical?
Well, we said a moment ago that encyclical letters are circular letters. So immediately you can see that the letter would have a wide readership. Generally, the Pope writes an encyclical, and he's doing so because he's concerned with matters which affect the welfare not only of one particular place, but indeed the Church at large. The timing then of some encyclicals sometimes coincides with great world events, or can from time to time mark an anniversary of an important event in the past. When the Pope is writing the encyclical, you get an idea to whom he's writing if you look at the title under the name of the encyclical, because that's where you see to whom the letter is addressed. In this case, for example, it's usually to patriarchs, primates, archbishops and bishops, and it can also be addressed to priests and members of the lay faithful. However, it's really important not to be put off by that, because in fact any person can read an encyclical, in fact even if you're not even baptized or you're not even Catholic. So this encyclical, which is dated on the 29th of June, which of course is a huge day here in Rome, it's the feast of St. Peter and St. Paul, is addressed, as you'll see, to bishops, priests, deacons, consecrated persons, we're talking there about religious, male and female, and the lay faithful. And I suppose the last thing I'd say on this is the title is very short and snappy. It's a real sort of soundbite sort of title, as often the Vatican documents tend to be. It's called Lumen Fidei, and that means the light of faith. You can see here that the theme of the encyclical grabs our attention rather quickly, because we all know and appreciate what light is. In fact, our planet can't survive without sunlight, for instance. And faith, too, is something that we need to know about as followers of Christ. So the Pope, in writing this encyclical, wants us to know how faith is like light. And so he addresses the question and so on to encourage us to deepen our faith.
Now, most of these documents are written first in Latin and then translated into other languages. Do you know how many languages this has been translated into?
Off the top of my head, I'd say it's probably at least six, because the main languages of the Vatican are Italian, English, French, German, Spanish, Portuguese. I've seen Chinese, Polish too, and others too. That will be up to the printers and to the publishers here in the Vatican, but certainly those I've seen in circulation.
Now, this is the Year of Faith, of course, and so the timing and the title of the encyclical are quite good. What can you tell us about this?
Well, the encyclical, by the fact that it contains the word faith, is tied very closely to the Year of Faith, which was inaugurated on the 50th anniversary of the opening of the Second Vatican Council. This is itself, if you want to say, a clear indication that Vatican II was primarily a council on faith, inasmuch as it asked us to give first place to God in our lives, both as a church and also as individuals. In some ways, it's retelling the commandments to love God as the most important thing in our lives. One reason then why the church often looks back in its preparation of encyclicals is that it's in the same way preparing to look forward. And it's in doing this, it's recalling things from the past. The church is then saying that it never takes faith or anything, in fact, it has received for granted, but knows that the gift of faith, which is something that God has given us, needs to be nourished and reinforced so that it can continue to guide the faithful on their pilgrim way into the future and for the next generations. In many ways, it's like making your way through a forest and checking the map that you have in your hand from time to time to make sure that you know where you've come from, where you are, and indeed where you're going. The Vatican Council was, for its own time and for our own time too, like a light, something like a light that you might have on the inside of your car, on the roof. When you want to read a map, for example, you're a little bit lost on the street. And so the light of faith illumines our human experience from within. It accompanies the men and women of our time on their journey, which we would see as being a faith journey. And another thing, perhaps finally, we can say about the Vatican Council is that it clearly showed how faith enriches life in all its dimensions. We tend to think it might just be something for the church, but in fact, Vatican II had a great outreach to the modern world.
Well, if you have not read any of the documents of Vatican II, perhaps this is the year to start. Many people are amazed to find how relevant the texts are today, and would almost imagine that they had been written only recently. Would you agree?
I would agree. I'd agree entirely. Some of the texts are so surprisingly modern. When you look ahead to our own time, which is, of course, 50 years after the Vatican Council, we know that Pope Benedict wanted to make a link with what happened 50 years ago. And for this reason, he last year inaugurated the Year of Faith, which is being celebrated in a myriad of ways all around the world. And in tying these two moments, like so the 50 years ago and last year as well, Pope Benedict was showing that here we also have an element of continuity. And for this reason, in this encyclical, we can see the handprints of Benedict and the pen of Pope Francis. So it's like a collaborative work in many ways. The encyclical supplements what Benedict XVI had written in his earlier encyclical letters on charity and hope, we might remember that. And Benedict XVI himself had almost completed a first draft of the encyclical on faith. We know that then he stepped down in February of this year. And for this reason, Pope Francis is very deeply grateful to him in this encyclical as his brother in Christ, and has taken up then his fine work and added a few contributions of his own.
But as Catholics, are we obliged to read this encyclical or any of the documents of Vatican II?
Short answer, no. It's good, though, to remember that there's no obligation on our part to read this or, in fact, any encyclical letter. We can do so if we wish. Perhaps there's also another connection between our freedom in this regard and, in fact, the meaning of the Pope's name. Francis, in fact, means a free man. So we're like Francis, we're free to read this or we're free not to read it. My advice, if you want to take it, is that there's something quirky in the human makeup to the effect that when you're told to do something, you most likely do the opposite of what you're being told to do. So read it if you wish, is my advice. And I suppose my consultation would be, you won't be sorry if you do.
Okay. What is the structure of this encyclical letter?
Okay, well, before we speak about the encyclical, might I suggest to our leaders that our listeners at some stage that if they download it and read it for themselves, they'll find it very, very good. In this way, they can take their time and ponder maybe over a particular word or a phrase that the Pope has offered to us, even to read a paragraph or two every day as spiritual reading might be very beneficial. So let's speak about the structure. The letter has 60 paragraphs devoted to the fundamental religious questions of our age, such as how are we to understand faith in a world which dismisses it as mere sentiment or personal choice, and moreover, does not even understand the concept of universal truth? That's a big question. The Pope then begins to answer this question in the first section of his encyclical by tracing the history of man's response to faith from earlier times to the present moment. And then he moves into a four-chapter division. Each of the chapters is drawn from a passage and inspired from a passage in sacred scripture. The first is called We Have Believed in Love, which is a reference to a letter from St. John. The second one is Unless You Believe, You Will Not Understand. That goes back to the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah. Then we go forward to the New Testament again with the third chapter, which is I Delivered to You What I Also Received. And then the Pope concludes with a great section on hope, which is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, and that's entitled God Prepares a City for Them. So the key words really in those four areas would be believing, understanding, handing on the faith, and then our great hope for eternal life. ¶¶